You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hikers or park rangers of Reddit, what is the scariest or creepiest thing that you have seen in the woods? Like and subscribe or I'll haunt you tonight. This happened on private property, but it's a creepy story that took place in the woods, so it kinda qualifies. Plus, this morning was opening day for deer season, and we were deer hunting when it happened. My cousin owns land in western Wisconsin where there's lots of hills and lots of deer. It's tradition for all of us to hunt on his property. My dad, cousin, and all their friends pitched in to build a hunting shack on the property and put up tree stands. We hunt on a schedule, so none of us hunt in the same area at the same time, both for our safety and in hopes of getting a deer. My dad and I took an ATV and headed up a hillside. The sun wasn't quite up yet and we wanted to get set for sunrise. We marked which hill we were going up on the schedule inside the hunting shack. Nobody else was there yet, but we marked it anyways in case my cousin and his daughter showed up. We waited until about 9 a.m., and didn't see a thing, not even as much as a squirrel. We decided to go get some coffee to warm up, and then head back out. I followed my dad down the path back to the ATV, and we'd stop every so often to listen for deer. The only noises I heard were my footsteps and my dad's. About halfway to the ATV, I heard something else. It only happened when my dad and I walked. When my dad and I walk during deer hunting, I mimic his footsteps so we make less noise. I step at the same time as him. However, something behind me was making noise. It was like something was mimicking my footsteps. I spun around and peered into the trees. The sun still wasn't over the top of the hill yet, so we were in quite a bit of shade. I didn't see anything, so I continued to follow my dad down the hill, but I heard it again. This time, I turned around when we were still walking, and I saw something duck behind a tree. A pale face poked out from about 30 yards up the hill, and hid behind the tree again. It poked out again, and this time, stayed staring down at us. I stopped and hit my dad's shoulder. He turned, and saw it too. "Get to the four-wheeler," he whispered, and I didn't hesitate. I stared it down as my dad started up the ATV, and as we departed, the face's dark little shoulder came out from behind the tree, followed by the rest of its gnarled, malformed body. My dad hit the throttle and we got back to the hunting shack as soon as we could. Nobody else was there, so we got in the truck and left. I haven't been in those woods since. My dad was, and got a deer this morning, and acts like this never happened. I still think about it far too often. A buddy and I were on a camping trip in the Poudre Canyon outside Fort Collins, Colorado. It was late in the season, so all of the campgrounds were closed. We found a random spot off of a random road. Both of us have a ton of experience and had camped all over Colorado and Utah, but something about this particular spot was just off. Almost immediately, we found a blanket wrapped around a deceased skeletal animal. We assumed it was just a pet that someone had thrown out, but it set the mood. We went hiking, climbed up a few hills and came across an abandoned tent wrapped up in a tree. I was certain we were going to find a body in it, but it was just filled with notebooks and a sleeping bag. We start hiking down the hill and end up walking down the side, very steep. As we are traversing down, we are hit with the smell of death. Nestled into a tree, on the side of a very steep hill, is a small towel with something clearly inside of it. We leave it be and hike down. This is probably 200 to 300 feet up the side of steep hill with a towel in a tree, facing the top of the hill. clearly intentionally put here. We down some bourbon, build up some courage, and hike back up. Grab a stick, open up the towel. Inside, a very recently deceased owl. Somehow, someway, someone had killed this owl, wrapped it in a towel, hiked up a steep hill off a random mountain road, and stuck it beside a tree. We started a fire, slammed the bourbon, and got out of there in the morning. I was traveling solo around the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State and making various stops in the Olympic National Park. I decided to stop in Quinault for the first time and took a random road that dead-ended at a beautiful spot at the edge of the Quinault River. There was an ancient footbridge that led across the river, but it looked like it might collapse if I tried to cross it, so I decided not to. It was off-season and I was not in a tourist area, I was the only one there. It was so unusually hot outside that I decided that I needed to get in that water. I backed my car all the way to the edge of the dead-end road, faced it out in the direction I would need to leave, and started hiking through thick brush, down an embankment, to the edge of the water. There was no path, it was a pretty rugged area. It was mid-fall and I didn't have a suit since I didn't plan on swimming, so I just took my clothes off and got in the water in my bra and underwear. I had a nice swim, but I could not shake the feeling that I was being watched even though I was in the middle of nowhere. After about 5 minutes, the creepy feeling was enough for me to want to head back, so I started to climb out, turned my back to the other side of the river and walked toward my clothes and shoes that I had left behind. When I turned around there was a big tall man standing in plain view, just across from me on the other side of the river, but higher up on his embankment than I was on mine. He was wearing a poncho made of animal pelts, had long hair full of sticks and twigs and looked like he had been living out in the wild for a very long time. We stood and stared at each other, me in frozen terror for what felt like forever when all of a sudden, he frantically took off in the direction of the footbridge leading across the water. I grabbed my car key, tried to grab my clothes and shoes but they got tangled up in some blackberry vines, so I left everything, and went running for my life, through the thick brush and blackberries, barefoot in my underwear, trying to make it to my car before he made it across the river. There was no doubt in my mind that he was trying to harm me. When I made it out of the blackberries, I could see he was crossing the bridge toward me rapidly. I got to my car and flung my door open just as he arrived. I locked the doors while he pounded on the hood of my car, just screaming and grunting non-verbally. The moment he went for my driver's side door, I hit the gas and took off as fast as I could. I looked back and he was chasing after me. He must have run after my car for at least a mile until he faded from view. I was bleeding everywhere from running nearly naked through blackberries. I was wet, unclothed, shaking and crying. Had I hesitated for literally 10 seconds longer, I don't think I would have made it out alive. Even typing this story out again all these years later, I am starting to shake. I felt like I was being hunted, that is the only way I can describe it. I will never ever go back to that area. Since that moment, I always bring a hiking buddy with me when I venture out into the forest. That day is going to haunt me for life. I have had many years of therapy and that experience is still as vivid as the day it happened. I was a senior girl guide ranger for 2 years in Canada. There's a private lake out near the mountains we would take the younger girls to, as the lake was shallow and great for canoe lessons. I never liked the sight, as it was more of a swamp and therefore always smelled like rotten eggs, but it was fun to go up there with my unit. We were all really good friends, and an odd cast of characters in general. Despite our differences in interests, one thing we all shared was our belief in the paranormal. Particularly myself, my sister, and our resident witch R, who is pretty much impossible to scare. Anyways, about a year ago, we were out there for our annual backpacking trip. There were about 7 of us, minus the leaders. We were tenting in a meadow that was about a 5-minute walk from the bathrooms, and a 10-minute walk from the boat launch or main recreational area. The woods in the area are super dense and at night, it's pretty much impossible to see 2 feet ahead of you. Our second night, halfway through the trip, I got up in the middle of the night to use the washroom. Since we are in bear country, and it's also pitch black, I woke up my sister to come with me. The path to the bathrooms was narrow and dark, even with our flashlights. As we walked, I started getting increasingly paranoid that someone was following us through the trees. My sister had noticed it too. There was brush moving somewhere in the distance, like something was walking next to us as quietly as possible. By the time we made it to the outhouse, I was well and truly scared out of my mind. As I was waiting for my sister to be done, standing in the clearing with my light out, the thing that we had heard grew closer. This weird snuffling noise, almost like a bear, started emanating from the trees around me. Now I know what a bear sounds like. Whatever that was, it was not a bear. It sounded more like labored breathing, if the person breathing had had their throat shredded by a weed whacker. It was wet, and loud, and getting very close. I banged on the outhouse door, yelling for my sister to get out, and when she did, her eyes were just as big as I imagined mine were. We sprinted back to camp, relying on our dim flashlights and muscle memory to get us back safe. That noise followed us all the way back. In the morning, at breakfast, I asked her if she had heard anything weird the previous night. She nodded, and when I recounted the story to her, she confirmed that she had heard the noise too.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Concerned, we went to our leaders, who were talking to the leaders of a guide group staying down at the other side. The guide leaders were talking about packing up early because of a weird noise that had occurred sometime during the night and scared all the girls. Creepy, right? It gets worse. That day, we were supposed to be marking exit trails with flagging tape. We'd split off into groups of four, and although I didn't experience anything particularly out of the ordinary, my sister did. Here's what she told me. Their path took them up a hill we call the ridge. The ridge is the highest point in the camp, and should you struggle your way up to the top, you will be rewarded with a gorgeous view of the whole area. As they were standing there, one of the girls suddenly froze up and stared down the hill at something. My sister and the two other girls turned to ask what she was looking at, only to be struck speechless by what they saw. There was something humanoid watching them from the meadow. Tall, thin, staring straight at them. It was too bright to look at, almost painful in its light. It watched them for a moment longer, and then they blinked, and it was gone. To this day, we still don't know what it was. But whatever had stalked us that night in the woods, it had not been there to play. I was doing a camp trip with the two of my cousins and my aunt in Canada, and I was the oldest one there, excluding my aunt. At about 2 in the morning, my male cousin, let's call him Jay, wakes me up and tells me there's a man outside. I don't know why, but this sent chills through my body even though I didn't believe him. I grab my phone and turn the flashlight on. Through the thin walls of the tent, I caught the silhouette of a tall man, around 6'3", with a huge beard and what seemed to be a hunting knife in me. Jay and my younger cousin, who had been woken up by Jay starting screaming our asses off, and my aunt leaves her tent across the camp, about 10 meters away, and runs towards us. The silhouette was still there and hadn't moved until she lifted the flap, and he was never saw again. The silhouette he made was solid and was 100% human, and it swayed slightly as if it was breathing quickly. I will never forget that night no matter how hard I try. Back when I was 12 or 11, I was on day trip out in the woods with my dad. Kind of a secluded area, no people lived around for miles, and the trail itself wasn't maintained anymore. We saw no one else was there per usual, as no other cars were there. A little while later, probably a good mile and a half in from the entrance, we stopped walking to relax for a little bit. I had found a nice solid stick during the walk and was fooling around with it. There was a semi-rotten stump where we had chosen to sit, and I discovered hitting it with the stick actually made a really nice, deep thunk noise. So I hit it a couple times, hit rest, following that pattern. After a few seconds, I realized there was an echo from far off, even deeper in the woods. Not too weird, as there was definitely enough stuff in the area that would bounce the sound back. So I kept messing with it and my dad joined in too. In total it was only about 5 to 10 minutes of playing with the stick and stump, and we stopped and decided we're gonna grab our stuff and head back. Then from deep in the woods again came three distant thunk noises. It couldn't be an echo at this point. We looked at each other confused and were wondering what it was. Like I said, other people being this far out in this spot was very unlikely, but then the three thunks came again much closer than they were before. We grabbed our stuff and booked it out of there. Still don't know what exactly it was. Had it been a person, they would have been sprinting to move that quickly between sounds. And if it was a person, why were they coming right for us? Never been back to that area since. A couple months ago in late fall, I went to climb Bear Mountain in northwest Connecticut in the very early morning. I hike a lot by myself, but for some reason, this spot was giving me the creeps. It was just barely light out and the woods were thick, all the leaves had fallen and it was dead silent. It really reminded me of the Blair Witch Project. Now I hadn't been on this trail before, so I was going slowly and looking around taking it all in. As I walked I was shuffling the leaves with my feet just to make some noise, so it wasn't so eerie. That's when I heard what distinctly sounded like a rattlesnake. It made me jump back, but then I got to thinking it was pretty cold in fall, and there's definitely no rattlesnakes on this little mountain, those things live in the desert. I was just creeped out altogether and figured I was hearing things. I continued with my hike and then went home. It wasn't until a week later, I was reading about the mountain I had climbed. They had a website with a taxonomy section. That's when I saw it, there was rattlesnakes on that mountain. Even worse, it went on to explain how they can be seen lounging on the warm rocks in summertime, but in fall, they hide under the thick layer of fallen leaves to keep warm, the same leaves I was kicking. I got very lucky that day. I was at least an hour walk from my car and probably another half hour at the very least to the nearest hospital. I got one from my cousin, Steve, that I'd like to share. Keep in mind that I might be missing a few details and Steve could just be joking me, but he seemed awfully serious when he told me. Steve is an outdoorsy person, likes to camp and hike and stuff. He never gave me specifics on where he was with this story, so could be anywhere in a forested area in the wilderness. He said it was late September, early October, something like that, and this was in 2004 I think. Steve said he set up a little campsite in a small clearing, no bigger than like a large living room. The first night everything went fine, no troubles at all. But that afternoon, quite a while after he'd woken back up, he felt oddly drawn to somewhere off in the distance in the forest. He said he was like on autopilot and wasn't fully aware of what he was doing. Steve said he wasn't too far away from the campsite into the trees when he noticed what looked like a toppled over grave. That's how he described it at least, a rectangular slab of stone. But he said it was weirdly out of place and it definitely didn't belong there. He said it looked polished, sorta glossy and reflective. There was no writing or scrawling on it, it was smooth and plain. But despite it sitting on a pile of dead leaves, there was no forest debris on it. No twigs, fallen leaves or even moss on it at all. This was very unusual, especially considering to his knowledge there was nobody around for miles, but it looked like it had been placed there very recently. At that moment, Steve said that he felt as though he had been picked up and dropped randomly somewhere on Earth and had zero clue as to where he was. He said even though he could clearly make out the red canvas or nylon or whatever of his tent maybe 25 feet or so behind him, he said he was just utterly confused and totally unfamiliar with his surroundings. Then he said that two things happened very quickly. First, he felt an ice-cold wave of air hit him. Like a cold wind on a frigid winter day despite it being relatively warm for early autumn, and there was no wind present, the branches on the trees hadn't moved, and the leaves on the ground didn't budge at all. Second, he heard what sounded like a loud, deafening clap, like someone clapped their hands just once, really hard, and it echoed across the valley. Next thing he knew, the sun is already dipping below the horizon and it's pretty dark in the woods. Only a split second earlier, it had been about 3:30 in the afternoon, now it was closer to 8 at night in the blink of an eye. Steve said he did not see the stone on the ground anywhere, and he booked it back to his tent, scared out of his mind. According to him, it wouldn't be a good idea to pack everything up right at dusk and try to make his way back to civilization during the night, so he'd have to wait until morning to do so. Now I'd love to say that this was some creepy alien story, like he saw UFOs flying overhead or there was like a skinwalker or Wendigo or something, because those are creepy, but that was about it, except for one other thing. He said he barely slept that entire night, all the while he heard a seriously creepy sound not far from the tent. Steve said it sounded like someone snoring, and it might have simply just been a sleeping animal like a bear or mountain lion. Not too sure if they snore, but I'm guessing they do. Anyway, he said he waited a little bit after dawn broke until it was fully light out. He packed up his stuff and got out of there, with the feeling he was being watched the entire time until he left the woods. Didn't see, but heard. My husband and I were hiking in a state park on the East Coast. It was midday during the work week, so we maybe encountered two other people the 3 hours we were out and about. The only sounds we heard were from ourselves, our dog and some birds or animals. All of the sudden, I started hearing mild chanting. I asked my husband if he heard it too, and he nodded but signaled for me to be quiet. My dog's ears were at full alert and the hair on his back was standing straight up. We continued walking and the noises turned into full-blown monk chanting. Think Halo Gregorian chant. It was clear as day, like I was standing right next to a speaker. To make myself feel better, I convinced myself some teens were hiding down somewhere playing it on their phones. After 5 minutes of hearing it, it disappeared and we barely spoke a word the last 3 miles back. Still creeps me out. Couple of things that are scary in different ways. Did the Tongariro circuit, between two huts. The trail went along a ridge which was pretty barren. It was towards the end of the day and I was tired, going slower than I would have liked, but had tons of water, food, warm clothes, etc. I was safe, just tired. The Tongariro crossing is stupid busy, but the circuit is significantly less, so there were no other people about at all. The flags that marked the trail just stretched along the ridge in what seemed like forever. The terrain wasn't changing too much, so I was just plodding along, wondering if I had somehow died and gone to purgatory without noticing. In southern BC, hiking up to a lookout, near the top. Walking along all fine, no problems. Get to the top, begin walking back down, in a spot we had last been in 15 to 20 minutes ago was fresh cougar dung. We were all healthy adults, no children or dogs, so we didn't think the chances of us being attacked were high, but they were also non-zero, so we were pretty on edge heading back down the mountain. It's one thing knowing that you are in cougar country and you have to take precautions and another to know that there is a cougar pretty close to you, probably watching you. In Glasshouse Mountains, hiking with a friend, we're two women. Meet this guy at the summit, he strikes up a conversation, but it doesn't take long before he starts making creepy comments about our bodies and being suggestive about two women traveling together. My friend turns to me and says that we should head back now. He says, "Cool, where are we going next?" I just point blank tell him to get off and never speak to us again. He goes to follow us down the trail and we both begin yelling at him. A muscular dude steps in and asks if there is a problem. We book it. Later that night, we're sitting next to our tent, and out of sight when we hear some guy asking our camp neighbor if they've seen his friends, these two women. Our neighbor tells him no. We slink into the tent unnoticed. I guess he thinks no one is there and doesn't come onto our sight. The next day, we're doing another hike and strike up a conversation with a Swedish couple who tell us about this creepy dude who came around to their hostel the previous night looking for two women. He must have gone to every camp and hostel in the area, looking for us. No, thanks. Cool, but scary was sitting around the campfire in Maine, hearing a huge crashing sound from the woods, booking it back to the van and peering out the front window just in time to see a huge male moose burst from the trees, ran through the campsite and back into the woods on the other side. Rocky Mountains, about halfway through a hike, we hear a very loud high-pitched scream. Thought it was a cougar, and it sounded a long way off, so didn't think too much of it, just kept our wits about us a bit more. A few minutes later, my friend starts laughing hysterically. I turn around, thinking what is so funny, and she's looking pretty spooked. Her laugh begins to come from all around us, then my laugh. In the end, all four of us are being laughed at by our own voices from all around us. We're all freaking out a bit, thinking do we go back or press on? We were on a kind of secluded track and it had the option of joining up with a more popular one or keep on the secluded one a bit further ahead, so we pushed on and took the more popular track. It was fine, but we kept hearing that cougar or maybe not cougar call, and whenever there were no other people on the track near us, we could faintly hear laughter. I was a ranger for Glacier National Park in northern Montana. We got a call around 3 Amish for camper in distress near our post, but would require a 45 minutes hike through some pretty rocky terrain to get there. So we geared up and start hiking. Me and my partner are about 30 minutes into our hike when I just get a gut feeling that something isn't right. Keep in mind it's pitch black, only using headlamps in the middle of grizzly territory. We are about 10 minutes out and we start to hear this sound of a baby crying, so we kick it into high gear and start shouting and moving faster until I notice something odd and my gut completely dropped. The sound of the child crying was played on a loop. It was the same cry over and over again. I told my partner to stop and listen to prove I wasn't going crazy. He was a new hire and I just saw all the color on the kid's face vanish when he realized also. We decided to hightail it out of there fearing for our lives and the unknown. Never got another call of a stranded camper after we left. I still get chills telling the story. I'm not a forest ranger, but I'm a soil conservationist for the USDA. I spend a lot of time out looking at cropland and CRP, Conservation Reserve Program, prairie restorations. Needless to say, it's not uncommon for me to find myself miles from the nearest road. One time, I was out looking at CRP in a heavily wooded area of my county. I was probably half a mile or so off the road on a trail when I came upon a small clearing with what appeared to be an abandoned playground and school bus. There was a rusty swing set and a huge rainbow merry-go-round. Alone this would have creeped me out, but I was truly terrified to see the merry-go-round spinning extremely fast. There was no wind in the clearing, so somebody or something had to have been making it spin. I called out and nobody answered. I turned around and left. I figured it may have been an old school, so I took a look at our old maps and asked our archaeologist to look into it. We couldn't find anything about it. I haven't gone back. I told my boss he could go look at it, not sure if he ever did. I'm not a superstitious person, but this made the hair on my neck stand up. I am not a ranger, but my neighbor used to be one for the National Park Service. He told me 2 stories that were eerie, but my favorite is the time he was making the rounds at a park in the Appalachian Mountains. It was a gorgeous night with a bright moon, clear skies, and a nice 75 degrees. Anyways, 30 minutes into his shift and he felt something liquid tap onto his shoulder. Even though it was a clear night, he didn't think anything of it because it could be an animal doing its business up in the tree. Anyways, he wiped it away only to notice that the liquid was sticky. He flashed his light on his fingers and saw blood, which startled him but not as much as what he saw next. When he shined his light up the tree, way up top was the carcass of a mangled male deer. Its body was totally ripped up and twisted. Obviously seeing this is creepy as heck, but what really bothered him was that the tree the deer was hanging from was really tall and difficult to climb. The first 20 feet of the tree had no branches and the deer carcass was maybe 100 feet up in the tree. When he went back the next day, he was able to verify that. I argued that it was a cougar or some other mountain lion. However, he didn't think a cougar would stash their prey that high up. Also, he told me that there were no cougars in that park, let alone in the state. Not a ranger, but I went camping on a mountain with a friend. We had a fire going and were just chatting and messing with the fire when I heard a very faint sound that distracted me from the conversation. I told my friend to hush up for a second and we both listened closely. We could hear a woman singing in the distance what sounded like a really old medieval melody. We couldn't make out what it was, because she was singing in another language. We were far and away from any other campsite, as we liked to camp in our own spots away from anything that could potentially have other people. Creeped us out, but what makes it freaky is I ended up posting pictures of our camp on Facebook, and another friend recognized the location and asked if I heard anything weird. I said, "Why do you ask?" He went on to explain how him and another of our mutual friends were nearby that campsite on a different night with one of their dogs, and they heard a woman crying as she was coming down the road that passes by the site. They decided to check on her to see if she was alright, but when they got to the road and called out to her, there was no response and the crying immediately stopped. They thought it was strange, but decided to head back to the camp. When they got back, they found their dog convulsing by their fire and foaming at the mouth. They grabbed him and got in their car and started hightailing it down the mountain. He said the dog went limp in his arms on the way down, and he thought it died. But once they reached the bottom of the mountain, the dog woke up immediately and acted like nothing happened. They immediately assumed there was something evil in that area. When he was telling me this story, I turned white as a ghost, and once he finished, I explained what my other friend and I heard near our camp. It really freaked me out, because my buddy with the dog ended up going up the mountain with me, and showed me where everything went down, which happened to be exactly where I was hearing the singing the night I went camping. I was not a ranger, but worked for an environmental non-profit that contracted out with the Park Service. I was in Monte La Salle National Forest on a fuels reduction project, working pretty far down a long ATV trail that was accessed by an incredibly steep switchback. It was the last day of the project, and our project partners in the Park Service had been schlepping gear out all day. One of them was an absolutely gargantuan man, probably about 6'5 and with ginger hair, but darker, like mixed with rust. He had been helping me with a lot of the heavy swamping, clearing the chopped up debris from my chainsaw, for the duration of the month-long contract. I was hiking back at the end of the day alone, like an idiot. The rest of my crew was a half mile or so behind me. I like to push myself on hikes to keep myself in shape. I was coming around a wide bend in the trail, heavy foliage to my left, when I heard a rustling coming from behind the impassable wall. I slowed down and craned my neck. I'm pretty tall myself, 6'3", and saw what looked to be the shaggy mop of my project partner through the small gaps in foliage, and then it moved. When it moved, I could see there was a whole lot more fur than just a shaggy mop, and also that this hair was covering something much, much larger than even my jotun of a coworker. I saw it begin to take one slow, quiet step, and decided not to stick around any longer. Ran until my lungs burst, and practically crawled my way back up the switchbacks to our trucks. Hid in one of the trailers until the rest of my crew showed up. I asked if anyone had seen anything on their way back. No one had. I still don't know what I saw. I tell myself it was an elk. Makes sense, given the season and location, but I never knew an elk to walk on two legs. I saw this on a documentary about some forest rangers, and it still gives me chills to think about. In a national park in some hard-to-reach, rocky secluded climb was a camp known for weird thing happening. One of them is when the group was camping in the middle of the night when the most unusual, demonic sounds came bellowing from across a gorge. The campers could tell that it was two different creatures going back and forth, and the sounds and frequencies were impossible to be human or any known animal in the area. If I'm not mistaken, this happened on different occasions, and there was an actual recording taken, which is really freaky to hear. In a separate occasion in that same spot, while sleeping inside their camp structure consisting of logs and sticks, they heard the unmistakable sound of their camp being trashed and ravaged by very large, strong animals, which they assumed to be bears or another animal. Fearing for their lives and waiting it out until morning, they were shocked to find the camp completely untouched. The final story at this same location is in the middle of the day. While sitting for lunch, a horizontal beam of white light almost resembling a fluorescent bulb gently floats across the campsite before everyone, before stopping and disappearing. They eventually decommissioned the campsite and I believe hid the location. I'm not telling it as eerie as it conveys, and I wish I could find what it was from, but I believe it was a documentary with a story about Tom Messick and other forest mysteries, which are all a huge trip. I was 12 at the time, 1998, and my friends and I decided to go on a hike in our rural area in Nova Scotia, Canada. We packed lunches, and set forth up a really big hill and into the woods. We are subdivision kids, we only play in each other's yards or backyard, and sometimes the wooded area between our houses if there was any. Roughly a half hour in, we notice a path that looked like a road that four-wheelers might have made. As we continue on, there's like eight of us, ages ranging between 8 to 12, we see a wide area in the woods that was made into a camping site. Beds were made out of fresh brush, there was a fire pit with stacked wood, just a really cool spot. We thought maybe Boy Scouts set this up, as training exercises or something. So we settle down and eat our snacks, still admiring these perfect beds. We were laughing and carrying on, coming up with silly names on what to call this place. We knew this would be a great place to hang out. It was late afternoon, sun still shining, and my friends wanted to go home. I told them I was going to stick around and see what else I could find in the area. They tried to get me to come back with them, but I told them I'd be soon leaving after looking around. I laid on the grass or brush bed and looked up at the sky, seeing the bright blue sky with very few clouds and a light breeze. I was so relaxed, I felt so proud to have helped discover something. Then I heard a branch snap. I sit up, and start to look around. Nothing out of the ordinary. I see trees upon staggered trees, until I look far in the distance something hanging from a tree. It's far away, and at 5'9 and 170 pounds, I figured I'd be bigger than whatever else is in these woods. Stupidly, I get up and walk towards it. I still can't make out what it is, but as I keep walking, I start to audibly let out some nervous laughter. I get closer to it, roughly 80-ish feet away, and it looks like a body. I freeze, now I'm panicking, is my eyes playing tricks on me? There's no way that's what I think it is. For whatever reason, I'll never know, uncharacteristically of me, I continue to walk towards it. My heart is racing and my legs are becoming weaker and weaker. I get close enough to actually see it is in fact a body hanging from a tree. I freak the hell out and run the other way. As I'm running like my life depends on it, my mind is racing faster than my legs. I run, and run, and run, until finally I catch up with the others. They ask me why I was running, and I'm trying so hard to catch my breath. They're all asking what's wrong, and I'm trying so hard to catch my breath, I actually fell over. They all gathered round me trying to help and frantically asked questions while the friends my age were crying. In between my breaths, I told them I saw a body hanging. Now everyone is crying. We sat down, far away from the campsite, and I'm describing what happened. What I will never forget for as long as I live, was how gross the face looked. Has anyone seen Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? The scene where Robin's father is in the contraption high above, burnt and decayed? That's what it looked like. Told my parents, they didn't believe me. By this time, it was dark and there was no way in hell I was going up there that night. I told them I'd show them tomorrow morning. I didn't sleep at all. All I could think of was that horrible looking face. My mind wouldn't stop racing, thinking about it over and over. Finally it was light out, and I woke my parents up and got ready to show them. We walked back to the place and found the brush beds. I showed them where I laid, and where I started looking. I couldn't see where it was, so I told them to follow me as I tried remembering which direction it was in. I kept walking, whimpering, waiting to see the body again. I didn't, it was gone. This isn't a ranger story, but a marine story. A buddy of mine is a marine and was doing an exercise deep in the woods with his unit one day and he eventually got lost. After walking around for about an hour trying to figure out where he was, he came across three guys and asked them for directions. They pointed him in the direction of his camp and he was able to get back. Shortly after he got back, him and his unit started to pack to leave, so he told his sergeant that there were still guys out in the woods. His sergeant said that he was the last one back and they were waiting on him to leave. He told his buddies about it, and it turns out that another unit that did exercises in that area way back in the day had three Marines go missing. There have been other Marines that got lost in that same area say they had the same experiences of running into three guys that pointed them in the right direction. I'm not a forest ranger, but I have lived in a forest my whole life, and there's something that just doesn't sit right with me here. Don't call me crazy, my entire childhood I have lived in the forest with my family. Out of all of them, I'm the only one who loves to go into the woods. I'm drawn to it, I take hour and mile long walks, alone sometimes, but usually I go with a friend. I always bring a weapon, even though I'm confident that there's nothing there that will hurt me. Here, there is no dangerous animals that I have seen with the human eye, but I have come into close contact with things that even I can't explain. When I was 9 years old, I was having a birthday party in the middle of October. It was warm, the perfect day to go trek through the woods with some buddies. We started to head through my yard and towards the tree line, but then we stopped. One of my friends spotted something in the trees. A person? An animal? Nothing around here would have that white of a coat. This thing stood on two legs, so it couldn't be a cottontail deer. There was something out there, but none of us wanted to figure that out, so we ran. When I was 11, I was out on the rooftop, gazing up at the stars and looking down at my phone occasionally. Suddenly, a sound started echoing around me. I thought it was an owl, but then the sound turned more into some sort of mountain lion or bobcat in distress sound. The noise changed many times, making different animal sounds, once even screaming like a girl. A fox maybe? I was too frightened, dialing everyone I knew while I was curled up in a ball against the side of the house. When I was 13, I came in contact with that white thing at the base of my neighbor's driveway. Never again would I ever peer around at night. Later that day, I heard some sort of moose sound, but moose don't live around here. My entire life I have heard stories from one of my brothers about a Revolutionary War soldier circling the house, and once I saw it, but only once. That was it. I always felt safe because of it. It's sort of protecting me. Call me crazy, but nothing will keep me out of those woods. Nothing it has thrown at me so far, that is. I'm an environmental monitor for oil companies up in Alberta, Canada. A consultant and I went to this old well pad way out in the bush. We were looking for water wells that were there but not recorded, so they had to be visually found and marked on the GPS. We went through this trail and when we found a few, we decided to come back later and look for more. A week later, we came back and on the trail there were trees about 1 to 2 inches bent down over the trail. Not totally weird, but what was is that at the bottom of the tree something twisted the tree like a wet dish rag and then bent the trees down. If they just pushed the trees down, then they would spring back up. Whatever it was smart enough to know that the twisted trees would stay down, no animals could do this. Only logical explanation was that maybe a little tornado touched down on that specific spot and then lifted back up. And whatever it was really strong to twist trees like that. Or it was Bigfoot warning us to stay away from there, either way it was odd. Not a ranger or anything, but where I live there's a big forest. Me and my friends go into this forest a lot and it's fun and quite safe, there's a trail too and an abandoned mini pudding place too. Anyways, one night, we decided to go into the forest, and while we were walking on the trail that leads to the inside of the forest, I thought I heard noises. I asked my friend to stop his music so I can listen better and the noises were just a lot of howling and screeching. At this point on the trail, there was no forest on our right-hand side, only our left-hand side, and it was down a hill. We thought it was just dogs, but before we made a left down the trail into the forest I remember that in the direction those noises were coming from, there are zero houses at all. One of my friends always refused to go anywhere near that forest during the nighttime because of a bad gut feeling. He wasn't with us that day but we decided to trust his gut and get out of there. We left and went into a neighborhood not too far away in the opposite direction of the forest, and when we were standing outside of the school in that neighborhood, we began to hear the noises again coming from the forest direction. The forest was out of sight and far away at this point, but it still freaked us out. I've been an SAR officer for a few years now, and along the way, I've seen some things that I think you guys will be interested in. I have a pretty good track record for finding missing people. Most of the time they just wander off the path, or slip down a small cliff, and they can't find their way back. The majority of them have heard the old stay where you are thing, and they don't wander far. But I've had two cases where that didn't happen. Both bother me a lot, and I use them as motivation to search even harder on the missing persons cases I get called on. The first was a little boy who was out berry picking with his parents. He and his sister were together, and both of them went missing around the same time. Their parents lost sight of them for a few seconds, and in that time both the kids apparently wandered off. When their parents couldn't find them, they called us, and we came out to search the area. We found the daughter pretty quickly, and when we asked where her brother was, she told us that he'd been taken away by the bear man. She said he gave her berries and told her to stay quiet, that he wanted to play with her brother for a while. The last she saw of her brother, he was riding on the shoulders of the bear man and seemed calm. Of course, our first thought was abduction, but we never found a trace of another human being in that area. The little girl was also insistent that he wasn't a normal man, but that he was tall and covered in hair, like a bear, and that he had a weird face. We searched that area for weeks, it was one of the longest calls I've ever been on, but we never found a single trace of that kid. The other was a young woman who was out hiking with her mom and grandpa. According to the mother, her daughter had climbed up a tree to get a better view of the forest, and she'd never come back down. They waited at the base of the tree for hours, calling her name, before they called for help. Again, we searched everywhere, and we never found a trace of her. I have no idea where she could possibly have gone, because neither her mother or grandpa saw her come down. Wildland firefighter with the Forest Service. Not my story, but from old supervisor of mine that I believe completely. Setting is 2004 or so, Hell's Canyon area of Middle Idaho. His crew had been working all day on an emerging incident and were going to be working through the night as well. Being the assistant superintendent of the crew, second in charge, effectively, he was out ahead scouting on an ATV or some such. He was working his way down a logging road that clearly had not been used in some time when a bobcat or lynx, it's been a few years since I heard it, appears in the middle of the road, but doesn't run away as they usually would. Thing stands there for a good 10 seconds, screams at him, and scampers up a tree not 5 feet off the road. He finds this odd but not particularly unsettling. Just a half mile or so down the road, he finds a small cabin. Also odd, as this is federal land and no private structure should be there. Upon investigation, all the windows had been boarded shut tight and someone had done a good job of doing so. The door no had been punched out and secured to a hole drilled into the log frame by a chain. Someone did not want anything getting in, or out. Peering through the hole in the door, he can see that everything in the house is upset. This has him kind of unsettled, so he hops on his ATV and heads back up the road. Well, here's where it gets real interesting. Right where the bobcat had been, there stands a Native American woman, in a badly tattered nightgown and bare feet, just standing there. He yells at her, asking if she needs help. She just screamed at him, the same scream as the cat from before, and climbs right up the tree, faster than any human has a right to be climbing. Obviously, he nopes out of there as fast as he can. Unsure of who or what he just saw, he asks a local guy about the cabin. After asking around a little, a local Native American hears them talking and informs them that they saw a pumewa. In effect, a skin changer, a warg. Now, I would not believe most people that tried to tell me that. But this was a serious man that did not mess around about many things. He was dead serious the two times I've heard him tell it, and I 100% believe he saw what he saw. There was a group of teens that hadn't been heard from after their scheduled return time from a camping trip. A good friend and I know the area very well, so one of the search and rescue guys we're friends with called us in to assist in the search. Him and I head out in the general direction the teens had set off in. We'd been hiking for most of the day and seen nothing. We're about 35 kilometers into the woods at this point when we start noticing odd things. Sticks carved like spears stuck into the ground, weird carvings in the trees, a child stuffed animal hanging from a noose up in a tree. This place was nowhere near any roads, it wasn't on the regular trails people would go on in the area. The really eerie thing was that everything was freshly carved. Somebody had been there within a couple of hours of us and made these things. Mind you, we're still looking for these teens. We kept on hiking and eventually made camp for the night, still kind of on edge from what we had seen earlier, but we settle down anyway and go to sleep. We get up with the sunrise hoping to cover more ground before it gets too hot. We pack up the gear and get ready to go when I noticed a bit of shirt that had caught on a small tree and ripped along with some shoe prints. We were thinking, great, maybe we're close by to the teens when a radio call comes through. The teens had just been found 20 kilometers east of us, they're calling everybody back. All those weird things we had seen from the day before came flooding back into my mind. We wasted no time hiking out of those woods. I work in the outdoor field and lead trips regularly. I once led a trip to the top of Mountain Sterling in North Carolina. It's a tough climb to get to the top and about 6 miles from the nearest road. I was leading a group of 8 middle school kids and had one co-instructor. We were camping out on top of the mountain and it was a beautiful night with a full moon. The kids and the other co-instructor went to bed in their tents. I chose to spend the night in a hammock that night. I was really into a book I was reading, so I stayed up and read until about 10:30 p.m. I turned my headlamp off to settle in for the night. Everything around me was rather bright from the moon, and from the position I was in, I could see down the trail we had hiked to get to the top. I laid there enjoying the scenery and noticed something moving on the trail. Bears are common in the area, so I perked up. As it got closer, I could tell it was a person. We were in the middle of nowhere and there was someone hiking up the trail with no headlamp or any gear. I was just frozen watching this person move closer to our camp. They arrived at the top of the mountain where we were and just stopped. I watched as what appeared to be a man surveyed our camp. I really could only see the outline of him. He stood there for what seemed like 30 minutes, but may have been 10. He then turned, sat down under a tree facing our camp. He was sitting up in a way that I knew he wasn't trying to sleep. He just sat there staring at our camp. I had no idea what to do. I decided to wait it out. I waited, just staring at the man while he stared at my camp. This went on until about 3:30 a.m. Then, he stood up, took a moment to survey my camp a few minutes longer and then went back down the trail he came up on. I, to this day, have no idea what that was all about, but it freaked me out. I was paranoid that we were being followed for the rest of the trip. I was working as a prospector's assistant in central Manitoba one summer. We were doing a helicopter-assisted magnetic anomaly investigation, best summer of my life. There's nothing like the ringing in your ears dissipating after the helicopter has dropped you off and the slowly increasing volume of the bugs taking its place. You know for sure you are in the middle of nowhere. It was the last day of our campaign. This was a little piece of the property close enough to a road that we didn't need a helicopter. It was a low priority target that was saved till the end. We had kicked so much ass during the high priority targets that we decided to do this one on the last day just for an easy in and out of the bush. Around 9 a.m., we heard yelling in the bush. Odd. Nobody else should be out here. We keep on grabbing samples and it's in the back of our mind. Around 11, we hear it again, a little closer this time. We call back, but again it's silent. Now through our travels of this 30 kilometers piece of property, we came across many pieces of animal evidence. Deer, moose and rabbit droppings were everywhere. A few carcasses here and there. Bear tracks and bear feces were seen a few times, but nothing prepared us for what happened next. Around noon, we were in an old blast hole from the 80s. Prospector Dave told me he used to have a blasting license and that blowing thing up in the middle of the forest while drinking beer was a favorite pastime of prospectors until they changed the laws after a few too many forest fires. We were facing due west with our GPS on some rocks getting the most precise UTM it could. When we hear an earth-shattering bone-chilling howl. I looked at Dave and he turned so white, he was almost green. I picked up the GPS and put it in my belt and unclipped my bear spray safety. Then at our 9 o'clock, facing due west, another wolf then another at our 10 then another and another all the way to our 4 o'clock. Dave calmly said, "We need to leave, but you cannot run, if you run you die." We left most of our sampling thing there. We also carry these modified steel sledgehammers for breaking rock and scraping moss, most useful durable thing I've ever had. It's at the ready along with my bear spray and we walk, longest walk of my entire life. We didn't say a word. I didn't hear anything, but I'm positive they followed us back to the road and into the truck. We drove back to town and proceeded to get thoroughly drunk. I was mapping one summer, ex-geologist, on the tundra in northern Quebec, Nunavik, approximately 150 to 200 kilometers from the nearest town. I mean, the middle of nowhere, no one was there, no cabins, no ATV routes, nothing. We were walking along when my field partner flipped a rock with his foot, just a random rock of millions, tons of glacial float up there, when a piece of paper flies up from underneath it caught by the breeze. He turns to me and we both go, "What the heck?" Because there should be no paper just randomly there. I track down the paper and find that it's folded. I open it up and see that it's a note with the words, "Je t'aime," on it with a drawn heart. Upon seeing this, I literally got chills up and down my spine. Because the improbability of it floating all that way, being undamaged by the rain or the myriad of lakes, and then us finding it. I am not a religious or superstitious man, but it felt like the universe or some higher power just reached out and poked me in the chest. According to experts, there are no such thing as black mountain lions. One day while out with my dogs hunting mushrooms deep in the woods of northern Humboldt County, California, my dogs caught a scent and took off ahead of me. Before I could call them back they were out of sight and then I heard a horrific screaming sound, and my dog snarling and barking and squealing. By time I got over the hill, they had three mountain lions in a tree, a mother and two large cubs. The mother and one the cubs were jet black. One of my dogs had a severely mangled leg and shoulder, and puncture wounds to her neck, so I didn't stick around to observe, and I sure as hell didn't think to take any pictures. I scooped up my injured dog, slung her over my shoulders and hiked the 3 miles back to where I'd left my car and rushed her to the vet. While she was in surgery to amputate her leg, my vet's husband, who is a Forest Service worker, came in the office. He had heard about the attack and wanted to ask me about the location and details. When I told him about the Black Mountain Lions, he told me that there are no Black Mountain Lions. He refused to believe me and treated me as if I were crazy. After my baby girl was settled and resting back at home, I proceeded to start making calls to park departments, colleges, cat sanctuaries, anyone who I thought might have some information. Every expert I talked to had the same reaction. They told me Black Mountain Lions do not exist and treated me like I was crazy. I know what I saw, and there are at least 2 Black Mountain Lions in the world. I got a special wilderness permit to go into an area in the mountains in California where they haven't allowed foot traffic in 20 years. There were no trails, it was myself and 2 other Marines, and we did it in exchange for seeing if there was a rare kind of trout in the streams up there. I guess the Forest Service didn't have anyone who wanted to do it. Anyway, we hiked for 2 days with no trails using just a map and a compass, and on the second day, we walked around this huge cliff to find a cabin with a lawn and solar power and washer and dryer, the whole 9 yards, all built into the rock face of the cliff. You couldn't see it from above, so it had gone unnoticed for years. We talked to the guy that lived there, and he said that we were the first people he had seen hike in 14 years. He was a retired helicopter pilot and had flown all of his equipment in by helo. He was squatting on federal land and he knew it, but he didn't seem worried. He said he hikes out every 2 weeks for supplies by a different route that we came in by and showed us. We used that route to get back to a trail that was beaten down, so the waking was easier. All in all, it was pretty cool. The trout the Forest Service were looking for were in the creeks, so it is still close to foot travel, and we never told the service about the old helicopter pilot, so I would guess he's still out there. My dad and I would occasionally go hunting together when I was a kid. I was 14 and my dad knew a guy who owned what seemed to buy half of Georgia. I mean, the amount of property this guy owned was ridiculous. He let people hunt out there, and if he trusted you, he'd let you camp out there for a couple of nights if you wanted. He'd always make sure we had a way to call for help before we did it though. I loved camping out there more than I did just going hunting for a few hours then coming home. I liked the woodsman feel of living out in the woods. We woke up early one morning and hiked into the woods. It was still dark when we got to our stand. We didn't see or hear anything, not even birds. I remember my dad commenting on it, and looking back, it should have been a sign. Frustrated, we pack up and look for a spot to camp, and we would set up again later that evening. My dad suggested we go deeper in to better our chances of seeing something, so that's what we did. We hiked for a few hours, found a clearing, set up a small camp, got settled and passed the time freaking ourselves out by talking about Bigfoot and other woodland creatures. We hike a ways away, form camp, set up our blind and wait. Again, nothing. We get back and our tent has been pulled up and laid flat. Not in a neat way, but it's just kinda laying there. We thought it was just the wind or something, and we didn't put it up right and it collapsed. We didn't think much of it. Since we didn't see or even hear anything all day, we decide to leave the following day and try again later that week. We settle in for the night, build a really small fire and just relax. Again, not even birds are making a sound. I remember thinking how odd it was to be this deep into the woods and only hear 1 or 2 birds the whole trip. Oh well, maybe we are making too much noise and scared everything off. We go to sleep soon after settling in. It's pitch black, middle of the night. I wake up for some reason just to try to go back to sleep. I'm in that half asleep, half awake phase when I hear laughter. I kinda jolt awake, but don't hear it anymore, so I figured it was a dream. I lay back down and a few minutes later, I hear it again. It continues and gets pretty loud. I wake up again, but this time my dad is up too. He whispers and asked, "Did you hear that?" And this is when my heart dropped. He heard the laughing too, it wasn't a dream. We heard it again, but it was faint, and now that I'm actually awake, I am paying attention to it. It sounded kind of like several people laughing in unison. It wasn't cackling or hysterical laughter, but just kind of normal laughter. It didn't last but for maybe 5 or 6 long seconds. I have never felt that much fear before in my entire life. We didn't hear it anymore after that, but needless to say, we didn't get any sleep. We packed up as soon as the sun came up and get the hell out. My dad was convinced someone followed us and was playing a prank. That's why we didn't see anything. He said while we were in the stand and blind, they were scaring all of the wildlife off with their unmasked scent and being on the ground. He says this, but he didn't go back out there for over a month. When he did finally go back, he mentioned it to the guy who owned the property. He wouldn't let my dad hunt there anymore, didn't say why either. My dad thinks he made the guy think that my dad was crazy or something. I guess it is possible for someone to have followed us out there. They must be legit ninjas though, because we went out before daybreak. Nobody but the owner was parked out there that morning. There were dead leaves and sticks everywhere, and when they decided to laugh, it came from different spots and I never heard a footstep. I've got goosebumps. I live in Northeast Oklahoma and I consider myself a camping and fishing enthusiast. One spring night, me and two friends decide to go fishing. It's around midnight, we're going to a place that was once a maintained primitive camping area. This is not a remote location, but it's not very well known either. As we approach the turnoff for our spot, we see another vehicle slowly turning out of it, and proceeding in the way in which we came. We pass them and a friend says how he figured no one else would be around. We get to our spot, get our gear out and begin to prepare. But as we chat, drink a few beers, we all notice an unspoken uneasiness. Something is just not right. Usually I'm a trooper, fishing until the sun comes up, but I'm the first to crack. I explain to my friends how I feel, that we should leave and I just have a bad feeling. They agree, we load up. While slowly driving through the old campground, we notice some brightly glowing embers in an area where no one has been. My friend driving stops without even thinking and goes for a look. He is startled, telling us to come see. What we saw was the remains of three crosses, made of wood that would stand about 12 inches if upright. But they had been burned, along with a small campfire. And to make it even better, all were lying on freshly turned soil, which resembled a freshly dug grave. We freaked, got hell out of there fast. Thank God we are home free, we all thought. When we approach the exit of the old campground, we notice a vehicle parked on the side of the road. We pass it and we all realize, it's the same car we passed on the way in. There was no one in the car. They had doubled back and were likely watching us, waiting to do who knows what. An entire locomotive, complete with tree growing through it. It's not work, but one of my hobbies is model railroading. Some years ago, back in the late 90s, I took to building a model railroad based around a small short logging or lumber railroad which had existed in the northeast part of Georgia. The railroad itself had gone belly up sometime in the mid-1940s during the war, with the majority of the sawmill buildings and tracks being pulled up and used for scrap metal. What wasn't pulled up had been left to rot in place. Since most logging cars of the day were just wood frame structures, with only the trucks, wheel sets, and couplers being metal, I didn't expect to find that much. About 2 hours into mapping the old cuttings and bridge locations, I came to this branch line which curved off from the main. The branch wasn't on any of the maps I had, some of which dated back to the 1900s when the line was built, so naturally I became curious. Tromping along, I noticed that the rails were still in place, and while it was badly grown up and the ties rotted, it looked in generally good condition. About a mile and a half down this branch, as I came round a group of trees, I came face to face with this old steam locomotive. The thing looked like it had been there for some years, at least 50, if not more. It was battered, and severely damaged from the wildfires that run through the area from time to time. I took several photos from it, and then headed home. The next day, I went to a local railway historical society to ask them if they knew about it. Here's where it gets weird. Speaking with them, I was told that they had heard about it, and wondered if I had marked on the map where it was. I show them, and then get the photos developed. Not a single one that I took of the locomotive turned out. Those taken before it, and after it, were fine, but every single one of the engine itself were just black, as though the film had gotten exposed. The Historical Society never found the locomotive, and I, over the course of the next year, before I moved further south, kept looking for it. Try as I might, I could not find it, even following the railroad as I had before. It was almost as though the thing had never been there. This is my dad's story, not mine. He spent time in the 70s working on a major hydroelectric dam project for Hydro-Québec, James Bay. They spent a lot of time in areas that had little or no people at all, large unsettled wilderness. He had many stories, but one that always stuck out was about this small rock near a river. It was perfectly spherical and sat in the bottom of a nearly perfect bowl-like shape on a larger boulder. He said after watching for a while they'd notice some water splash up onto the boulder, where it would form a small whirlpool and funnel out a crack. While this happened, the small rock would roll around in the bowl until it emptied. He said he went back to check it out before they left about 3 years later and it was still happening, once every few minutes, water splashing up and the rock rolling around the bowl. Of course they weren't geologists, but their determination was over many, many years, the rock carved the bowl and in doing so formed itself into a sphere. I thought it was a pretty neat nature thing. Not a professional, but I do like to go deep into the woods. About a year ago, I was out on a backpacking trip with my dad and my brother. We were hiking along a rail trail that passed along a few abandoned coal towns in central PA, and we decided to camp in the ruins of one such town. There really wasn't much left, only a few foundations and a spring that was the focal point of the town back in the 1800s. This place is miles away from any civilization, and with the foundations and the terrain, it can be a little creepy at night. But as soon as the sun fell, we started to hear quiet noises in the distance. They were like whispers, and we could never get any understanding or meaning out of it, but we were aware of these strange noises coming from the town around us. These noises lasted all night long, and scared the hell out of all three of us. Pretty much we pretended like we did not hear anything, and noped the hell out of there the next day. To be honest, we didn't really start talking about it till miles later on the hike and we felt like we were away from that place and whatever the hell inhabited it. Summer camp counselor here. I work every summer for a camp for 5 weeks. One time, we were backpacking to the tallest peak in my state. At night, me and a coworker or friend, went on a night hike to get away from the kids. We laid down on a slope in patch of grass to stargaze about a quarter mile from everyone else. As we were laying, I heard the beautiful sound of water behind me, and I mean beautiful. I've never heard water running before and thought to myself, wow, this sounds beautiful. All I could imagine was crisp, clear water gracefully trickling by. I had this image stuck in my head. I had this sudden urge to go find it. Not just an urge, but a need to find the creek. Now behind us was dense forest and brush, so it would have been hard to find it at night, but it sounded somewhat close to us. Me and my friend looked at each other without saying a word. I knew he was having the exact same thought as me. I said to myself, let's wait for 5 minutes, then we'll decide if we should check it out or not. It felt like a playful presence was trying to persuade us to go over there. Then I decided we should go check it out, and we stood up without saying anything to each other. It just sort of happened. As we were approaching the sound, it became quieter and quieter. We stopped not knowing if we wanted to continue. As we stood there, the noise of trickling water became louder and louder, until it sounded like standing next to a river. I then said, let's come back tomorrow to find it, and we agreed to come back later. When I made that decision, the sound of the creek vanished along with the urge to go, there was only silence. The presence I felt earlier suddenly became sinister. It was just this dark feeling of a presence, kind of similar to knowing when someone is watching you. I felt this fear slowly creeping up from my belly. We walked back to camp quickly without speaking. Once we got back, we started talking about what just happened. My friend had the exact same urge to find the creek and same internal battle in fighting the urge to go look for it. When we got back, it was like a trance had been lifted and only then did we realize that what happened was not normal. We both could think clearer, like a fog had been lifted. That urge I felt did not feel like my own mind's urge. It's hard to explain, like a urge placed there because once the sound of the water stopped the urge stopped. The next morning, we went back to the spot and went to the place where we heard the creek. We looked and looked, but we couldn't find any sort of creek or water. We later looked at some maps of where we were, and there are no creeks or water nearby. I'm scared to imagine what would have happened if we followed the sound of the water, because of the ominous presence we both felt. If I was by myself, I would have thought I was imagining it. But my friend thought, felt, and experienced everything I did. I don't know what it was, but it was eerie to say the least. What's strange is neither of us said anything to each other once we heard the sound of water, and yet we both made the decision to go look for it without asking each other and both heard the sound of water becoming louder and quieter even though there was nothing there. We both felt the sinister presence trying to lure us in. I'm thankful we decided to go back later became all of it felt off.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.